U.S. House Select Committee investigating the 6th of January attack on the Capitol is facing a race against time in 2022, as Donald Trump and his allies seek to run out the clock with a barrage of delay tactics and lawsuits. Republicans are widely expected to do well in this year's midterm elections in November, and if they win control of the House, that would give them control to shut down the investigation that has proved politically and legally damaging to Donald Trump and the Republicans. The Select Committee opened its investigative efforts into the 6th of January insurrection when a pro-Trump mob stormed the Capitol to stop the certification of Joe Biden's election win, with a flurry of subpoenas to Trump officials to expedite the evidence-gathering process. But aside from securing a trove of documents from Trump's former White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, the Select Committee has found itself wading through molasses with Trump and other top administration aides, seeking to delay the investigation by any means possible. The former U.S. President has attempted to block the Select Committee at every turn, instructing aides to defy subpoenas from the outset, and most recently launching a last-ditch appeal to the Supreme Court to prevent the release of the most sensitive of White House records. His aides are following Trump in lockstep as they attempt to shield themselves from the investigation, doing everything from filing frivolous lawsuits to stop the Select Committee obtaining call records to invoking the Fifth Amendment, so as to not to respond in depositions. The efforts amount to a cynical ploy by Republicans to run out the clock until the midterm elections and use the election calendar to characterize the interim report, which the bipartisan Select Committee hopes to issue by the summer, as a political exercise to damage the GOP. Sources close to the investigation say the Select Committee is therefore hoping for a breakthrough with the Supreme Court, which experts believe will ensure the panel can access the Trump White House records over the former president's objections about executive privilege. Jonathan Shoeb, a former Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel attorney and law professor at University of Kentucky, says, "I think the Supreme Court is very unlikely to side with Donald Trump, and part of it is the nature of the executive privilege. It's a power belonging to the president." Jonathan Shoeb said, "It's hard to see how a former president could exercise constitutional power under a theory where all the constitutional powers are vested in the current president. So I think Donald Trump is very likely to lose, or the court may not take the case." Members on the Select Committee note that several courts, the U.S. District Court and the U.S. Appeals Court, have already ruled that Joe Biden has the final say over which White House documents are subject to executive privilege, and that the panel has a legislative purpose. Members believe a victory for the Select Committee at the Supreme Court is important, not only because it would give them access to the records that Donald Trump has fought so hard to keep hidden, but because it would supercharge the inquiry with crucial momentum. The Select Committee got its first break when House investigators obtained from Mark Meadows thousands of communications involving the White House, including a PowerPoint presentation detailing ways to stage a coup, and are hoping the Supreme Court can help to sustain their pace. Kate Shaw, a former Obama White House counsel and now a professor of law at Cardozo School of Law, says, "It's pretty clear that these documents are serious documents that shed light on the president's activities on 6th of January, and that may be quite damaging for Donald Trump." Kate Shaw added, "They could make a difference to the record being compiled by the committee and thus they could give the process additional momentum. Kate Shaw said, "That's probably why Donald Trump is resisting their release as hard as he is." More generally, the Select Committee says they are unconcerned by attempts by Trump aides and political operatives to stymie the inquiry, since Democrats control Washington and the panel has an unprecedented carte blanche to upturn every inch of the Trump administration. Congressman Jamie Raskin, a member of the Select Committee, said, "The legislative and executive branches are completely in agreement with each other that this material is not privileged and needs to be turned over to Congress. Things have been moving much more quickly." But the Select Committee acknowledges privately that they face a longer and more difficult slog with Trump aides and political operatives who are mounting legal challenges to everything from the panel's attempts to compel production of call records and even testimony. The trouble for the Select Committee, regardless of Democrats controlling the White House, Congress, and the Justice Department, is that they're counting on the courts to deliver accountability for Trump officials unwilling to cooperate with the inquiry. Yet Donald Trump and his officials know that slow-moving cogs of justice have a history of doing nothing of the sort. House investigators only heard from former White House counsel Don McGahn this past summer, years after the end of the special counsel investigation. The House has not even been able to obtain Donald Trump's tax returns, something that Democrats have been fighting to get access to since they took the majority in 2018. After repeated appeals from the former president, despite repeated defeats in courts of law. According to sources close to the former president, Donald Trump and his aides insist they're not engaged in a ploy to stymie the investigation, though they admit to doing just that in private discussions. The source has said when the Select Committee issued its first subpoenas to its former aides Mark Meadows, Dan Scavino, Steve Bannon and Kash Patel, Trump's lawyers told their lawyers to defy the orders because it would likely serve to slow down the investigation. The result of Trump's directive, first reported by The Guardian, is that Steve Bannon and Mark Meadows refused to appear for their depositions, and the Select Committee now may never hear their inside information about the Capitol attack after they were held in contempt of Congress. It remains possible that Steve Bannon and Mark Meadows seek some kind of a plea deal with federal prosecutors that involves providing testimony to the Select Committee in exchange for no jail time. But, for instance, the court hearing for Steve Bannon is scheduled late into the summer. The reality for House investigators is that the cases are now in the hands of a Justice Department intent on proving it remains above the political fray, after years of Donald Trump's interference at the Department of Justice, and therefore indifferent to the time crunch felt by the 6th of January House Committee. The situation for the Select Committee may be even trickier with Republican members of Congress involved in 6th of January, as they just need to stonewall the investigation only through to the midterm elections, before which the panel hopes to release an interim report into their findings. A spokesperson for the House Select Committee declined to comment on the outlook for the investigation and their expectations for the Supreme Court hearing in the case against Donald Trump, which the panel, cognizant of their limited time frame, has asked to expedite. Benny Thompson, the chairman of the Select Committee, originally aimed to have the final report completed before the midterm elections, but the efforts by the most senior Trump officials to delay the investigation means he could need until the end of the year. But either way, sources close to the investigation are saying that the Select Committee is hoping that the Supreme Court will deliver the elusive Trump White House records and that it could pave the way for the investigation to shift into yet another higher gear.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You are listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at supplication number 8 of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah for Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, and we are looking at verse 1, and we got up to where the Imam says, وَغَلَبَتِ الْحَسَدِ. O Allah, I seek refuge in you when it comes to jealousy and it's taking over me and winning. So the Imam Salamullah alayhi, in this supplication, he is seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a few moral traits, moral diseases that a person needs to make sure he does not have in his system. In the same way that the body gets sick and gets diseases, so does the soul. And the diseases of the soul sometimes are very hard to at least get to figure out or get to recognize, because sometimes they are just hidden. Therefore, one turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and for refuge, just like the Imam did. The Imam alayhi salam, he uses the word غَلَبَةِ الْحَسَدِ غَلَبَ. It means that at some stage, jealousy is a natural state in the heart of a person. But once the state starts to grow slowly, slowly, it becomes a monster that takes over. Because ghalaba means to be victorious and to win and overtake something or someone. So the Imam Salamullah alayhi is being very precise when he uses the word ghalaba, saying that in natural states, it should, you know, a person should have that kind of, you know, motive inside him, but it shouldn't go anywhere further. Now, let's take a short break, then we come back.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam,
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to IRIB English Radio, to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio again. Now, when the Imam Salamullah Alayhi talks about ghalaba and a person being losing against an enemy, and that enemy is in fact, as he calls it, al-hasad, jealousy. So what gets a person to a stage where he becomes a victim of such a disease? Because jealousy, as we know it, it's not an instant thing that happens to a person and he becomes jealous. Obviously, it takes time. The soul of the human being is like an animal, a domestic animal that needs to be tamed and trained. When this self is not tamed, when it's not trained, when it's left to itself, these diseases, they become part of it without a person realizing. So you can see that, for example, if we look at jealousy as a disease, that when a person in his normal circumstances, if he has not trained himself, that he looks at people around him, he looks at things around him, he sees that there are people who are more wealthier than him, there are people who possess more property than him, there are people who are maybe intellectually smarter than him, people who may have spouses or children and things he doesn't have. So him looking and seeing is automatic. It happens by itself. If that self is not tamed, it automatically starts to think for itself and starts to, that jealousy starts to kick in. And a person is not aware of that until one day he finds himself a victim of it. So the Imam Salamullah Alayhi is very eloquently try to highlight the fact that don't let it overtake you. Like from the beginning, you need to put a control on jealousy before it gets any further. So it's a self-monitory system when it comes to vices and the diseases of the soul. And then the Imam Salamullah Alayhi first says ghalaba of what? And then he says hasad. And hasad, as we translate it in English, into jealousy. And in simple terms, hasad means wanting to see whatever your brethren have to lose it. Since you don't have it, you don't want them to have it either. So I see someone who has wealth, I'm like, I hope and I wish he loses his wealth. This is just basically jealousy, just wishing that the people that you're looking at, the people that you are jealous of, lose everything that they have, which is obviously a problem and disease itself. Now let's take a break and then inshallah we continue.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So we were trying to define jealousy itself. So we said jealousy is the notion of wanting to see the na'mah, the blessings that Allah has bestowed upon our brothers and sisters, and we wish that na'mah, this blessing, to go away from them. Because I just don't have the capacity to sit and watch someone having so many things and I don't. And that itself is, it's a very selfish disease, to say the least. If you don't have it, or you can work hard to get it, you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maybe to even protect those who have what they have and ask Allah to increase what they have. But why would you wish them to lose what they have? That means a person from within himself, he has such a small, tiny understanding of the world around them that they only care about themselves and they don't care about anyone else. I don't care about people. If I'm happy, if I'm rich, if I'm wealthy, then yes. other people are rich? No. No, they can all burn. Only me. And that's just a very selfish understanding of people around us. At the same time, we have another concept that goes in hand with jealousy, and that is ghibta. And ghibta means, surely, I can admire what people have, and I can wish for what they have, but not to wish they lose what they have. So I see a brother who's smart enough, who's wealthy enough, I'm like, mashallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase his knowledge, increase his risk, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the same. This is called ghibta, that I want to have the same as well, but I don't wish it to be taken away from him or her, which goes against hasad, where jealousy and hasad is actually the opposite, wishing that they lose what they have instead of them having it and keeping it. Inshallah, we will continue this topic in episodes to come. So until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا
Food for thought.
Salam, dear listeners, and here is food for thought regarding the Noble Quran as expounded by Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The Quran leads its adherents to goodwill, and hearing it leads to salvation. With it are the bright divine authorities achieved. His, that is God's, manifest determination acquired, his prohibited decrees avoided, his manifest evidence recognized, his satisfying proofs made apparent, his permissions granted, and his laws written.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A zoo in the Netherlands is celebrating the birth of a newborn manatee, a rare event among the endangered species, especially within the confines of captivity. The newcomer was born in a royal Berger zoo in a Dutch city of Arnhem. Zookeepers say the birth went smoothly, adding that this is the mother's second calf. The newborn is still too young for keepers to be able to determine its gender, but handlers hope it will be a female. That's because there are only 15 females in European zoos. Manatees are closely related to elephants and are sometimes called sea cows because of their herbivorous diet. These gentle giants are listed as vulnerable to extinction mainly because of loss of habitat and collisions with boats. Shanghai is one of the most famous cities in the world, boasting an impressive number of tourist attractions. Now, the city is host to a new event that could draw excited visitors. The exhibition includes more than 100 items from Egypt, including 6 golden mummies. The most prized object on display is a 20-year-old female mummy with a gold mask and 2 jewels for eyes. Organizers have also put up for show original works by great European artists such as Raphael and Pablo Picasso.
Chinese astronauts on board the space station have held a unique conference with students, sending them a message that sky is the limit. They hope to inspire students to pursue their dreams and be proactive about their goals. Let's have a listen.
Every one of us went through rigorous selection and arduous training before carrying out space missions. Many people have to wait for several years, dozens of years, and even a whole life. But what deserves praise is that we have never given up, but remained true to our original aspiration, stood the loneliness, and passed the tests.
Ye, who is a first-time space traveler, also encouraged students to be brave in following their dreams. The Chinese astronauts talked about their life, work, and personal experiences. Students from Beijing, Hong Kong, and Macau were given the rare chance to ask their own questions during the Ground Space Conference. China launched Shenzhou 13 into space in October last year. The astronauts are scheduled to stay in orbit for 6 months, which will be the country's longest ever crewed mission.
A mobile public library is back in the Afghan capital, Kabul, to bring joy to children with exciting books and games. The library reaches hundreds of children on a daily basis, seeking to expand its coverage in the coming days. Rahmatullah Baghban has more.
As the sun rises in Kabul, the Charmagh's mobile library starts a fresh mission to delight children. The library goes from zone to zone in the capital, Kabul, to spread the joy and love of reading among the Afghan children. It operates in 5 buses and has a children-friendly space. The organizers say they are happy being back for Afghan children.
Definitely, we want to enhance reading among children and boost their creative thinking. We have 5 mobile libraries operating across Kabul. Our services were shut for 3 months due to government change, but now they're happy that once again they can reach Kabul children. The library was sponsored by Afghan traders, but now it's out of funds and needs economic support.
I love my job here as a librarian. It's free for all. Children from different backgrounds come here to read books and play games. What I love most is watching children smiling and having fun with each other. I'm proud I can serve them with the skill I have.
Children are highly excited as they find the library right in front of their houses. Hundreds of children make daily use of initiative as most schools in Kabul lack library.
The mobile library used to come to our alley every week, but over the past 3 months, it didn't come and we missed it so much. We are very happy that it is bringing us joy again. Nowadays that our schools are closed, we can make use of its books.
We thank Charmax for its services. We have learned to read stories, play games, and draw pictures. We have kind teachers and have a good time with our friends.
This creative reading campaign starts as the country faced many challenges. affecting children's schooling and taking reading opportunities from them. As schools remain closed for most Afghan children, such services can be a good haven for students and book lovers. The initiative can also encourage children and bring the reading to life. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
People in the northeastern Chinese province are trying to keep alive a winter tradition going back centuries. Each year, local fishermen and women in Jilin use an ancient technique to catch fish from Chagan Lake that is sealed with a thick layer of ice. What these locals do is they drill holes through the ice and put their nets under the holes to catch fish. But to pull out those nets from the lake, they will need help from a bunch of horses.
It was my first time seeing such a scene. Five horses drawing a turntable to gradually pull the net up to the ice surface. I felt very novel to witness this.
The technique has been listed as a cultural heritage in China. The ceremony attracts a large number of local tourists during the fishing season, which lasts until the end of February. Albino animals are rare and very vulnerable, so when you find one, you need to make sure they get all the care they need to survive. And now, Colombian vets are doing all they can to help the very first case of an albino baby, Jaguarundi, that's been rescued there. Fire department volunteers rescued this female cub in the urban areas of the Aboro Valley region. The vets are now giving it primary medical attention. The baby Jaguarundi will then be transferred to a conservation park in the city of Medellin for more protection. A local expert explains why they cannot put back the animal into the wild.
At this point, this animal cannot be released to the wild due to its albino condition. It is predisposed to certain health disorders, certain disadvantages when performing in the wild. Therefore, the only alternative for it is to end his life in a park such as this.
Albino animals face many difficulties in the wild and struggle with basic survival skills. They do not have good eyesight, and due to their lack of pigmentation, they cannot camouflage. Therefore, just like endangered species, human monitoring would increase their chances of survival.
Swimming in sub-zero temperatures can be unimaginable for most people, but not for a group of athletes who've tested their skills and strength in Prague's Vltava River. 360 people from 8 countries gathered in the Czech capital to participate in an annual winter swimming event. The air temperature was minus 6 degrees Celsius, with water temperatures dipping to as low as 3 degrees. The event honors Alfred Nikodem, a Czech swimmer who braved the frigid waters in Prague for the first time in 1923, starting a tradition that has been kept alive ever since.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Now, the world's most powerful observatory is finally on its million-kilometer journey after several technical delays. The NASA telescope named James Webb blasted off into orbit on Saturday, heading to an outpost that's 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth. The observatory was in the making for some 3 decades and cost about $10 billion. It left Earth enclosed in a rocket and from a launch pad in South America. The journey will last a month. The telescope is the size of a tennis court. And if everything goes according to plan, it will enter service in June.
Astronomers are hoping they can learn more about the origins of the universe once it starts beaming back new clues. The school in Spain is offering students an opportunity to join a special orchestra. The project dubbed The Music of Recycling brings unwanted junk back to life by transforming them into musical instruments. And here is how they sound. The project offers the instruments to the orchestra in one of Madrid's most disadvantaged neighborhoods. The students say the orchestra keeps them away from mischief and out of serious trouble while giving them an artistic outlet. Several dozens of children are taking music classes from members of the orchestra as part of the project. The ensemble has put on several concerts across Spain, but because of the pandemic, they had to pause their performances. The project is run by a Spanish environmental group and is inspired by a similar orchestra in Paraguay. To most people, an eggshell is something that gets tossed in the garbage, but to one Chinese artist, the delicate eggshell is the chosen canvas to express art and create mini masterpieces. Zhu is a talented craftsman who has created a series of unique egg sculptures with the theme of Beijing's Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games. Icons of ice and snow sports, as well as etchings of the 2022 Olympic mascots, are showcased in this series. The thin and delicate texture of the shells adds to the difficulty of the craft, which creates a sense of fragile beauty. Zhu says his fascination with eggshell art started when he was very young.
The Christmas season is when people around the world left out a dose of joy in the form of Santas. But it's different in central Thailand on this Christmas Eve. Thai children were ecstatic to see Santa Claus's distributing presents, but this time in the shape of elephants. Dressed in Santa costumes, five elephants carried dolls, face masks, and sanitizers for students. They were surrounded by many human Santa Clauses as well. But the students cheered with joy while reaching out for presents from the jumbos. Event managers say their goal was to encourage students to stay vigilant during the pandemic, plus they wanted to give the children some fun to look forward after months of virtual classes. The event is a yearly highlight for a school that caters to students from kindergarten to secondary level.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Fitting in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals, and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. we present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam, and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about connecting with Lady Fatima, peace be upon her. Today, Friday, is the 4th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of the month of Day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of January, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We're going to speak about a great lady, Prophet Muhammad's daughter, Fatima Zahra.
نحن أبناء البتول عن خطاها لن نزول نحن أبناء البتول عن خطاها لن نزول ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا يا فاطمة ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا فاطمة
Fatima, peace be upon her, in Surah Al-Kawthar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar.
Indeed, we have granted you, O Muhammad, al-kawthar.
Fasalli li rabbika wanhar.
So pray to your Lord and sacrifice to Him alone.
Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar.
Indeed, your enemy is the one cut off.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It was said that Kawthar has a vast inclusive meaning, which is goodness in abundance, and the examples are many. A large number of scholars of the Shia school believe that one of the most clear examples of that word is the auspicious existence of Lady Fatima, peace be upon her, because the occasion of the revelation of the verse says that they accused the Holy Prophet of being without offspring. But the Quran says, "Surely, O Muhammad, we have given you abundance of good." Kawthar. From this meaning, we understand that this abundance of good is the very Lady Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, of whom the descendants of the Prophet increased abundantly and thousands of them scattered in the world preaching his religion and preserving it. Here, we encounter a very interesting discussion from Fakhri Razi, who along with other commentators on Kawthar says, "This surah has been revealed to reject those who criticize the Holy Prophet for his lack of progeny. Therefore, the meaning of the surah is that Allah shall give him a generation which will remain stable through all ages." And consider this, that although a number of Ahlul Bayt have been martyred, the world is replete with them. Whereas from the Umayyads, who were the enemies of Islam, there remains no mentionable figure in the world. So
Sayyid Muhsin Naqwi from the Islamic Seminary of Qum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we look at the children of Lady Fatima, she was the best trainer in a way that she trained two sons in a way that they became infallible imams. They became imams, not only imam, but also the master of the paradise. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, Sayyida Shababi Ahl Jannah. They are the masters of the youth of paradise. This is how she trained them. This is the environment of a house. And this shows us that within the house, the environment can bring good people, can give good people to the societies. They can be beneficial not only for the households, but for the whole Muslim Ummah. On the other hand, the life of the Lady Fatima shows us the responsibility in her life. She was a responsible person in her life. In every aspect of the life, she has done things through the responsibilities. She knew what she has to do, and therefore she performed those things. She was active not only in the house but also outside the house. For example, when Prophet used to go at the wars, she used to take water for the army. She used to provide first aid for the army, and she used to support her husband and her father in a way that the father has said once that, O Fatima, you are the mother of your father, and the Umm Abiha, you are the mother of your father.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio. Where is Lady Fatima's grave? The Muslims have been deeply pained. Their beloved Prophet has passed away. And especially for his kith and kin, it is one of their lives' sadness day. A lady who happens to be his daughter, above all, is the most afflicted one. She was the nearest to her father. Alas, her troubles have just begun. Everyone had heard her father say, "My daughter is a part of me." For her safety, he would often pray, not wanting her to bear any agony. But his words fell on deaf ears as his followers were led astray, and were realized those worst fears because his tidings were disobeyed. In her last days, she is seen weeping, awake all night. She seldom sleeps. On her troubles, she keeps thinking the wounds in her heart are so deep. And that dark moment finally comes, for her heavenly abode she departs, holding back their tears. Her children see Baba living with a heavy heart. Has gone from this world forever, the mother of children so brave. But why was she buried in a manner that no one knows where is her grave? This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Being honest is one of the lessons we get from Lady Fatima. Remembering to stay honest and truthful can be extremely difficult. However, Lady Fatima was consistent in her belief in honesty and truthfulness.
The benefits of being honest for both yourselves as well as those around you are important not only for a healthy society, but for working towards being a better believer as well. Allah has recommended honesty in sales by use of correct measures and weights in order to prevent fraud and deception. Dear friend, Lady Fatima taught us that while it may be the most difficult to do, no matter what the outcome may be, it will always be the right decision to say on the side of honesty instead of lying and falsehood.
This is something that no one can deny. With other details, some people will say, oh, but the Senad, we're not sure if this is an authentic narration. Okay, leave all of that. We believe that's all true. But since we're dealing with stubborn people, let's stick to these facts. She was angry. She refused to speak to him until the day she died. She did not want him to participate in her funeral. This is enough of a calamity. Meaning, we have the famous narration where the Prophet ﷺ, and there are different versions of this hadith, where the Prophet, when he speaks about Fatima ﷺ, he says, يَرْضَى اللَّهُ لِرِضَاهَا وَيَغْضَبْ لِغَضَبِهَا. Allah is pleased when Fatima is pleased. And Allah is angry when Fatima is angry. And this hadith, even a staunch critic of hadith, like Al-Dhahabi, a Sunni hadith scholar, who has one of the most stringent criterions for authenticating the hadith, he says this hadith is sahih. It's correct. It's authentic. So, if this hadith is telling us, and the Prophet says, Fatima baba'atun minni man aghdabaha aghdabani, so Fatima is angry. Let's do some basic math here. Right? Fatima is angry at Abu Bakr. The hadith tells us that the Prophet becomes angry when Fatima is angry. So what does that mean? Angering Fatima angers the Prophet. And we have other hadith where angering Fatima angers Allah. Some people want to treat this confrontation as a historical issue. It happened 14 centuries ago, and let's move on. But I also began this majlis with a verse of the Qur'an. And this is where the theological implication can be seen. Allah, what does He say? In Surah Al-Mumtahin, Surah 60, ayah number 13. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amin, O you who believe, La tatawallaw qawman ghadiballahu alayhim. O you who believe, do not take as guardians, as awliya, as leaders, as friends, people whom Allah is angry with. And this is what it all boils down to. The Quran says, do not take as your wali, your guide, someone that you obey, someone that you love, someone, people who have angered Allah. Angering Fatima is to anger Allah. So this incident has important theological implications. How can the one who has incurred the wrath of God be the Khalifa of the Muslims? How can you take your deen from someone who has incurred the wrath of Allah?
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, inshallah. We join together on another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Fi amanillah.
Allahumma salli ala Fatima wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatima wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha bi'adad ma ahata bihi ilmuk. Allahumma
اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمه.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.